Aviravibhava Vachranaka Vachradamstra Karmasayan Randaya Randaya Tamograsa Grasa Om Swaha Abhayam Abhayam Atmani Bhujista Om Ksro. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisingadev, the source of all power. O my Lord, who possesses nails and teeth just like thunderbolts, kindly vanquish our demon-like desires for fruitive activity in this material world. Please appear in our hearts and drive away our ignorance, so that by your mercy we may become fearless in the struggle for existence in this material world. So this verse is from the fifth canto, 18th chapter, text number 8. Oui. Mm-hmm. It's very strong. Yeah. So Lord Nrisingadev is Vikna Vinasan, the destroyer of all the obstacles on the devotional path. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Navadvip Bhava Taranga, he has written two books, the Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya, which describes to us the parikrama of Srida Mayapur, and then he writes the Navadvip Bhava Taranga, which is a book which visits the same places as in the Navadvip Dhamma Mahatmya. But this time, Srila Bhaktivinoda is not describing the place and what the place is dedicated to, but this time he describes the inner experience that he has at the place. Therefore, Navadvip Bhava Taranga. Taranga means waves, or the waves of the bhava that is experienced in Navadvip, the different emotional states. So then he is describing how he is going to Nrisingapalli, also known as Nrisinga Tirtha, the place dedicated to Lord Nrisingadev. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to Lord Nrisingadev that he may take away all the obstacles on the devotional path, so that Bhaktivinoda can become fully engaged in unalloyed pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna. So, in that way, our primary reason for worshipping Lord Nrisingadev is not protection. Or at least not protection from outside dangers. Not protection from all kinds of Hiranyakasipus that are just living next door or wherever they are. Right, all over, everywhere. No, not these. Maybe to an extent also, but that is secondary. Primarily, we are trying to overcome the demoniac tendencies in ourselves. And Lord Nrisingadev, as Vikna Vinasan, purifies us from these, from this contamination, and takes away all the obstacles. Sarva Vikna Vinasan. All the obstacles on the path are being removed. And so that is our prayer. That is Prahlad's prayer here, which is very nice. The next prayer is also very nice, and I may as well read that also. Swastiyastu visvasya kala prasiditam jayantu bhutani shivam mitodiya. Manas cha badram bhajatat aduksaje Aveshetam numatir api ahaituki. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in Him. So may all the envious people become pacified throughout the entire universe. So that is very much the second purpose, protection from the demons. And in this way, Prahlad Maharaj continued his prayers. And now we'll go back to the to where we left off this morning. Is it coming? No. 1 second. Okay. So Prahlad is praying. Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. Purport. It is clearly understood that a devotee does not need to be born in a very high family to be rich, to be aristocratic, or to be very beautiful. None of these qualifications will engage one in devotional service. With devotion, one should feel, God is great and I am very small. Therefore, my duty is to offer my prayers to the Lord. Only on this basis can one understand and render service to the Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktimam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tattvataha tatumam tattvato gyatva visate tatanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord, by such devotion he can enter the kingdom of God. Thus Prahlad Maharaj decided to offer his best prayers to the Lord without consideration of his material position. So we can see that this section of Srimad Bhagavatam is the proof that anyone and everyone can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, in South India, they got around it because they basically said, yes, everyone can render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Nrsingadev, but not in the form of Narayan. Then one must be qualified. So in this way, in South India, Nrsinga temples became very popular. They spread everywhere because the Nrsinga temples had no restrictions. Anyone could enter. So in this way, Nrsingadev became very popular in the south. So it is said. But obviously we see that there is no previous qualification. Glorification of Krishna will purify anyone. And without glorification of Krishna, no matter how elevated one may be in terms of being a brahmana or how aristocratic, it doesn't really mean anything, because it cannot deliver us from this material world permanently, and it cannot give us devotional service. Only devotional service is really important and nothing else. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakasipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. Prahlad wanted to assert that his father and the other members of his family were all unfortunate because they were demoniac.
Whereas the devotees of the Lord are always fortunate because they're always ready to follow the orders of the Lord. It's like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought very hard with these smarter brahmanas who were caste conscious to establish that anyone and everyone could take up devotional service. And there should be no consideration of birth. Still, we're seeing that the devotees themselves, they do act like that. Prahlad acts like that. Haridas Thakur acts like that. Although they are transcendental personalities, they don't claim to be so. They always consider, I'm from a very fallen background. So we may also consider that, that we may not be from an elevated background, and therefore we require to be more careful, because we don't have that piety that carries us. If one has a lot of piety and has taken birth in a very pious family, exalted family, that has value, because such piety will automatically protect us. No? Just as they say that in the material world, the three modes of material nature are mixing. And you get goodness, passion, and ignorance, sattva, rajas, tamas, mixing in different varieties of threes, and then you get 3 times 3, you get 9 times 3, 27, and then 81, and it multiplies like that. Now, how does that work? It is like someone could be in sattva, 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 or someone could be in sattva, sattva, rajas, or someone could be in sattva, sattva, tamas, or someone could be in sattva, rajas, sattva. Someone could be in sattva, rajas, rajas. Someone could be in sattva, rajas, tamas. Yes? And if I keep on calculating like this, right? Someone could be in sattva, tamas, sattva. Sattva, tamas, rajas. Sattva, tamas, tamas. Now, let's take the example of sattva, tamas, tamas. So, someone who is in sattva, tamas, tamas is by nature situated towards sattva, but then it is more external. It doesn't go deep because behind it is a strong tendency towards ignorance. So externally, very much situated in brahminical behavior, but then internally and by nature, really, ultimately, a sudra. Right? Someone who is in rajas, sattva, sattva, is basically in rajas, right? Is basically inclined to enjoy in the material world, but the sattva, sattva tempers it. But someone who's in rajas, rajas, rajas is like a ball of passion about to explode. And someone who is in rajas, tamas, tamas is obviously totally lazy and wants sense gratification but is just very lazy. Someone who is in tamas, tamas, tamas is completely dirty, completely intoxicated, completely out of it. Somebody like some people that we know from nearby. So considering all these mixtures of the material modes and some of the examples I gave, we can easily understand that it's a mix, the way we are afflicted by the modes, and we can also see that. Astrologers, for example, can easily see that. They can see it by the planets because, everyone is a mix of different planets, right? Astrologically speaking, and they are not all the same influence. So one can see from the planets, here's a bit of passion, here's a bit of goodness, well, here's a good dose of ignorance, right? Rahu has really brought a good dose of ignorance. So astrologers can see these mixes of the gunas. So therefore, we understand that pious birth is valuable. It's not just a write-off. There is meaning to it, but it's not enough. It can never give one ultimate liberation from material existence, and it can never give one even better than that love of God. Only devotional service can give that. Therefore, ultimately, piety is also not valuable. It is bhakti only that is valuable. And it's all that we are interested in is bhakti. But along with bhakti, we can cultivate some culture of the mode of goodness. Because where love for God falls short, we need the mode of goodness. When we don't have enough love, then all that we have left is the mode of goodness, prescribed duty. And if you are in passion, then what's the point of prescribed duty? It doesn't make sense because I don't feel it. But the Shastra says so. Yeah, but I don't feel it. Here's a famous verse. Tatyacha manyum asuras chahattas tvajaja modeta sadur apivichikka sarpahatya lokascha nivritim ita pratiyanti sarve rupam nasinga vibayaya jana smaranti. My Lord Nrisingadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakasipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they're confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. So, it's quite amazing, right? Prahlad's attitude towards his father. He's sort of saying, now that this demon has been killed, even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a great saint. All the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. So here, Prahlad is completely not identifying with the bodily platform or the bodily relationship. It has no meaning to him. The physical relationship with Hiranyakasipu. He sees that his true father is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A famous scholar and disciple of Ramanujacharya was Vedanta Deshika. And Vedanta Deshika, he's writing that My dear Prahlad, why is it that you were not afraid when you were thrown in a pit of snakes? And Prahlad said, that's very simple. He says, isn't my real father Lord Narayan? And isn't it that the Lord is lying on a bed of snakes? Ananta says, and is a child, when he plays on his father's bed, is he afraid? So therefore, no. It is natural that he had no fear. Yes, but what about the poison? They gave you poison, Prahlad. What about that? How was it that the poison didn't affect you? He said that when the demigods were churning the ocean of milk, poison came about. And some drops of this poison was taken by the snakes and the scorpions and all these creatures, these poisonous creatures. He said, but even Lord Shiva was not affected. He drank all that poison. So if my father is even more powerful than Lord Shiva, then how can I be affected by this poison? So in this way, Prahlad was having a very transcendental vision and seeing the Lord as his father and seeing his real father and not at all seeing Hiranyakasipu as his father. And in that way, he was not seeing any danger anywhere. And the Lord just protected him. When Prahlad was thrown off a cliff, then the Lord arranged to catch him. When Prahlad was thrown into hot boiling oil, it didn't burn him. When they tried to pierce Prahlad with different weapons, these swords and tridents and daggers, all these weapons just bounced off him and hurt the ones who were trying to injure him. What can be said? It is amazing how Prahlad, how much faith he had. Everything in spiritual life is resting on our faith. It is said, Anakul Yasya Sankalpa. One must have the faith that whatever is favorable for devotional service, that we will accept. Pratikul Yasya Varjanam. Whatever is not favorable for devotional service, we'll reject it. Rakshishyatiti Viswaso. That the Lord will always protect us, always protect his devotees. Goptritve Varanam Tata. And that the Lord will maintain his devotee. Somehow or other, we depend on Krishna. And Krishna provides whatever we need. Our livelihood is depending on Krishna and nothing else. That doesn't mean we don't work. But still, work is no guarantee because the result of one's labor are not guaranteed at all. One may work very hard and have no success, or one may work very little and have great success. So that's not, work is not bringing success. Success depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Trastos mi aham kripanavatsala dusahogra sansara chakra kadanat krasatam pranita bada sakarnabiru satamati ningimulam prito pavarga saranam vayase kadanu. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put in the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? Prahlad is not presenting himself like a liberated soul. Prahlad is remembering how he took birth in a family of demons due to his previous impious activities. And he's therefore thinking that he doesn't have the full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is true, so many bad habits are there. So many bad habits we have from our childhood, and it's not easy to give up. And they are still influencing us. We have not been supported by pure devotee parents from the moment we grew up. Rather, we have been pushed by materialistic people who themselves were confused about the goal of life and who told us to do many things that were wrong, namely our parents. And now we have to break our habits. One of my disciples, who was a bit of a poet, he said, when I go to the house of my parents, I'm going to a museum of my old habits. And I thought that was pretty good. Like, as soon as you're there, you're back in your old identity. And the parents also, they call you by your old name, and you're in your old room, and everything is like old identity. And If you stay too long, you're going to slip back into it. The mind just slots back into it, just like that. The museum of our old habits. And they die hard. But we have to break them. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that all these things that were dear to us once, now we have to break in order to be able to take up Krishna consciousness. So that is there in the example of Prahlad, who is taking a very transcendental position. So we also are trying to change our life. Yasmat priya priya viyoga samyoga janma sukangina sakala yoniso dhyamanaha dukho shadam tadapi dukkam atadhyaham bhuman brahmami vadatme tava dasya yogam. O great one, O supreme lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, and is as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the misery themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. Now, this sounds easy to say, but what if you get really sick? Will you go to a hospital, or will you pray to Krishna? Or both? Probably both. So how much will we rely on this modern relief of miseries? That sometimes cheat us so much. Cancer patients are kept alive for an extra number of years. But what is the quality of life that is offered to them? By chemotherapy, they suffer like anything. By radiation, it doesn't just burn the cancer, it burns holes as well in other parts of the body. And then they have to operate to fix those, and it's just constantly under the knife and recovering and suffering. And then a little more chemo in between. And then you live a few years extra. But maybe it would have been better to just die. Because death, at any cost, we have to save people's lives. Send a helicopter, send an emergency plane from the Red Cross to fly someone over millions of dollars to save a life, one life. That is our Western culture. And in India, that's not there. I have my story, which I'll share with you again. Some people say I always tell the same stories. And that is because I like them. Because they're good stories. And this story is when I went to India the first time, and I went to the city of Benares. One day I came out of a hotel, and there was a dead body lying in the street. Now, where I'm from, in the Netherlands, we don't have dead bodies lying in the street. We never have. And even if somehow or other somebody dies in the street, within minutes they have a blanket and they cover the body. I don't know where the blanket comes from, but somehow or other there's always a blanket. So I had never seen a dead body in the Netherlands up to that point until I came to India. And there it was. Dead as anything. There was no doubt about it. And just lying in the street. And I was like, I was staring. But nobody else seemed to care. People just walked past. But then as they walked past, They were throwing coins on the body. Meanwhile, I was looking at the whole thing, and as I looked, I said, I've seen this man yesterday. He was a beggar. That's it. It's the beggar. It's the old man, the beggar. Yeah. And there he was, lying dead on the street, and people were giving him money. Lots of. Right? In fact, in about 15 minutes, the whole body was covered in money. So, you know, and I was thinking, look at that. If they would have given it to him yesterday, maybe he would be still alive today. Right? You know? And then, you know, I inquired from someone. I inquired from what's going on. Why is everyone throwing money on the body? They said, well, you know, when someone dies, then the soul leaves the body and looks down upon the body. And then the person tries to go back into the body, but he cannot. He cannot go back, but he wants to. Therefore, the body must be burned as soon as possible. And since this man was a beggar and there's no money for the firewood, so who's going to pay for the firewood? So we all give something so that they can buy some firewood and burn his body. And I was thinking, to save his soul, they're ready to spend. But to save his life, they wouldn't give anything. What a culture, right? Ours is exactly the opposite, right? Everything spent for saving the body and not a cent for saving the soul. Saving the soul? What's that, you know? It's like, so how amazing that is. But Prahlad is seeing that all these material remedies are actually miserable in themselves. All the material comforts are not at all solutions. So, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, I mean, a bit of material comfort is sort of also nice. It's nicer to chant Hare Krishna on the sofa than just on a cushion like that, you know. But the more comfort, the more we get attached to that comfort. And then when it's taken away, then we'll suffer more. A man who has been rich, when he has to live in an ordinary house, it's intolerable. It's intolerable. But the neighbors, they like it. Because they grew up in those houses and they're used to it and they think the houses are very nice. I don't know if you saw the movie Help from the Beatles, but I'll just start the beginning. In the beginning, you see the Beatles and they come in this street and it's just some simple street with labor houses. And all the people say, oh, it's so nice. They became so rich, but they stayed so simple, just like ordinary people. And then they go inside. And inside they've broken out all the walls. And inside it's just one big bed. And there is like a swimming pool inside. And it's just incredible, the luxury inside the house. So, yes, we also are living in the rich part of the world. And here we are enjoying great wealth, at least in Germany. Across the border in Czech Republic, it's a little different. No, it is. Of course, Czech is trying to catch up. When I was a kid, I had toy cars, and one of the toy cars was a Skoda. You know, and I was playing with this little toy Skoda, right? And then when I grew up, I was really disappointed because there were no Skodas. But later I went to Czech and lots of Skodas there. And Skoda is okay, but then again Mercedes. What can be said? And then I saw it with my own eyes. The Czech Republic joined the EU. Yay! That was great. That was wonderful. Was it? Has life improved a lot in Czech? I'm not so sure, actually. I thought it was better before. In my eyes, it looked better before. And it was cheaper also. And people had more, actually. And people were more together. Because that was nice. When I was in the Czech Republic, I saw that all the devotees were cooperating with each other. Yeah, in the beginning, when I used to come. I saw, for example, I saw a bakery, and I saw that all the devotees, so many devotees were working in the bakery. In Western Europe, no one worked together. Why would they? Because the government just pays, and everyone was on his own. So I saw the devotees were more together. So so-called material solutions are not always improving the quality of life. Prahlad understood. Soham priyasya surida paradevataya lila katastavanashinga virincha gita anjastitarma anugrinan guna vipramukto durgani te pada yugalaya ansa sangha. Oh, my Lord Nrisimhadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, Hansas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nescience. So here Prahlad Maharaj is not just a sentimental devotee. Prahlad is not just a devotee who is loving Krishna so much. No, Prahlad is a disciple of Narada. And he knows very well that Narada is the disciple of Brahma. And in this way, he knows actually that he is coming in parampara. And he understands that this knowledge comes in parampara. And that sampradaya bihina ye mantra nisvalamata, that without the sampradaya, these transcendental mantras will not produce fruit. So he very much depends on the acharyas. So in that way, Prahlad again is an example to us. One reason why I'm reading these prayers is because sometimes Srila Prabhupada would have devotees read out loud the prayers of Prahlad and the translations. So that's why I'm doing it now and on this day. It's very important because I explained this morning, I said that the devotee, we may look at all the aspects of the pastimes of the appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev, and we see something about the Supreme Lord, how merciful he is and how he's Bhaktavatsala, how he's the protector of the devotee. Then we're seeing a description of Hiranyakasipu and how he's attached to sex and to money. And we can also recognize the little Hiranyakasipu in ourselves. But ultimately, when we hear about Prahlad, then we learn how to be a devotee. And therefore, and that's us, right? So, therefore, Prahlad, whatever we read about Prahlad or hear about Prahlad, is the most important. And that is why sometimes on the Nrisimha Chaturdasi, we just talk about Prahlad. Prahlad, Prahlad, Prahlad. And I thought we were going to talk about Lord Nrisimhadev and manes covered in silver manes and drops of blood and all these things and thunderbolt teeth and nails and all these things. And now, talking about Prahlad. Yes, because it is through the devotee, through parampara, we are coming in the parampara of Prahlad. It is through Prahlad that we can actually approach Lord Nrisimhadev, understand Lord Nrisimhadev, yato yavidato, yato yato yami,
mita to. I can't do it when I'm in the middle. Sorry. I have to do it from the beginning. Yato, yato, yamita to. Nisingo. Thanks. Yeah. To always see Lord Nisingadev everywhere. So that is possible. So one must just turn to Lord Nisringadev, not to material remedies. Yasmin yato yaryena tse yasya yasmat. I have 5 more minutes. Yasmai yata yaduta yastvapara paruva bhava karoti vikaroti pitaksva bhava sanchori tastat akilam bhavatasvarupam. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small end, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal are all nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. So in this way, Prahlad sees how the Supreme Lord is the origin of everything, behind everything, just like explained in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So with this discussion under the heading of seminar, I felt that on the appearance day of Lord Nisingadev, just want to hear about Lord Nisingadev and nothing else. Right? I think the more we can focus on Lord Nisingadev today, then by the end of the day, we really begin to experience that that very deep and strong connection with Lord Nisingadev. So later on, there will be more. We've had a morning program. We've had lectures. We've had kirtan. We've had the Abhishek of Lord Nisingadev. We had plenty of kirtan after that and during that. And now a little katha. In a few minutes, Krishna Kshetra Maharaj will carry on. I think he's coming because I see a danda coming in. And Maharaj has a very nice danda because it's ultra light. Of all sannyasis, Krishna Kshetra Swami has the lightest danda. I mean, I've never seen such a light danda. I think it's due to his lightheartedness. And therefore, although as a guru means heavy, so a combination of lightheartedness and heaviness is there. But the heaviness is in Siddhanta and in being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore, without further ado, we'll turn it over now to Krishna Kshetra Maharaj and maybe give him a better seat, because this one is ultimately gets a little heavy on the back and so on. Thank you very much. Shri Nisinga Chaturdasi Maha Mahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Nisingadev Ki Jai. Shri Shri Prahlad Nisinga Ki Jai.